Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. Oh, wait a minute, there's more. Welcome back to Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant, your host. Welcome back. Oh, man, I have to keep the music going. Oh, we're here today. We are in late September, and we wanted to do our show today. I hope you liked our last show last week from the Better Living and Home and Garden Expo in Hampton, Virginia. That was our first remote show. We're going to be doing more. Today's show is dedicated, you know, as everybody knows in the news and radio, Pope Francis came to America. He went to Washington, New York, to Philly. And we wanted to do a dedication to Pope Francis, kind of like a food show dedicated to the Pope Francis coming to America. You know, we had to do it, you know. And I thought, what better person? What could we do to do that? It would be great. So I was looking around in Connecticut. I thought, there's got to be someone in America maybe that has cooked for different popes in the past, or just they know about the Vatican, just cooking and everything. And we found somebody. Yes, we did. We found somebody. His name is Chef Joseph Agner in Connecticut. And wait till you hear the interview. I mean, it was just, woo, I couldn't believe it. It was just it happened and just fell into us on the flavor, and we got to interview him. But first, we're going to talk about a commercial food fair that went on at the Vatican City before we go on to our interview with Chef Agner. What an interview. We'll be right back.
The world's smallest nation, the Vatican, is one of 145 countries taking part at Expo Milan 2015. The Holy See is also the only international religious authority with a purpose-built pavilion at the nutrition-themed commercial fair, which opened in the Italian city on May 1st. Attending states are expected to showcase the best of their technology that will help to feed the world's growing population, while also promoting national food industries. The Vatican, which has fewer than 1,000 inhabitants, doesn't really have any of the above to put on display. So why has it decided to be at Expo? In fact, Pope Francis' campaign against global inequality fits well with one of the main messages coming out of the Expo, that the world already produces enough food for everyone, but due to economic and contingent factors, up to 800 million people struggle to get access to it. In a video address to the Expo when it opened, the pontiff attacked what he said was the culture of waste, which affected the rich. Pavilion is shaped like a modern cathedral, mixing Gothic and Roman elements, but it is not adorned with overt Christian symbolism, such as crucifixes, in an attempt to be open to people from all faiths. Inside, a series of photos depicting food-related issues, including famine and eating disorders, are juxtaposed to a series of videos promoting the work of Christian charities in the area. At the center, a long interactive table symbolizes the Catholic values of family and community.
In many cases, people are, as you probably know, around the table in a family, and they have their own iPad or their own telephone, and they basically don't share, they don't communicate. This table wants to give us a different view. It is not only food, it is not only good quality of food, it is not only good, great cooks, but Expo should be something different.
Overall, though, Bressan said the Vatican is predominantly using Expo to broadcast the Pope's message.
Hey, And without further ado, here is our interview with Chef Agner.
People, and we have on our show Chef Yosef Agner. He is in Connecticut. And we want to welcome Chef Agner to our show because, ladies and gentlemen, he has cooked for two popes, a king, and the Dalai Lama. Yes. How are you doing, Chef Agner?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me here in your show.
What? I mean, how's Connecticut? How's the Connecticut doing? A lot of Huskies around there? A lot of Huskies?
For
the University of Connecticut?
Especially in the season of the Huskies, hockey season, there's a lot of going on.
We're glad that you're on our show, and I just want to start off by, watching the news? I know you're watching. You probably got a phone call that the Pope is in. Pope Francis is in town in the United States.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Too bad I never met him.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're probably gonna get a call. You're probably gonna get a call. He may stop by.
Maybe.
You know, since you're an alumni. You're like an alumni.
A little bit.
Yes. With respect, when I'm saying
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Tell us, really, you're a chef from Austria.
Correct.
And can you give us, how did you start? I want to kind of start how you started getting into being a famous or a well-known chef from Austria. How did you start getting into cooking?
Yeah, to become a chef in Austria, it's two different ways. You go either to culinary school or you just go to a restaurant and work your time up and become a chef. But the best way is to go to culinary school after high school and then do 4 years. And then you also work always in restaurants. And if you get lucky, you work in good restaurants and have good chefs. They teach you and you have to be focused and you have to work really, really hard, otherwise you don't get it. And so I was always a hard worker anyway, and so after years and years, and I was still young, I was already became a good chef and get some awards already in Salzburg. And also after time, I was well known, and so I got the chance to cook for important people too.
Now, you said, I remember talking before our interview, and you had mentioned that your family, you started, I like food too, and I got in it from my folks, my mom and dad, taking me to the side and saying, and you said you too. You said yourself too, your mom? And
yeah, my mom was my first teacher.
Started it off, right? Started it going?
Yeah, she teach me some stuff, basic stuff, like start with baking, make little stuff, some cake, and later on I helped her for the lunches and dinner for just family cooking. And so I was always involved with cooking. And so later on, I was like 15, 16 years old, it was time to make a decision what I'm going to do in my life. And so I decided I want to become a chef. And so I started culinary school and then worked in restaurants and so on.
Wow. So you had said you went to culinary school in Austria?
Yes, in Austria.
Wow. I remember mentioning that. I wondered the difference between school in Austria and school in America. I know both are very well-known and important and mystique, but I mean in Austria, that must have been something. You learned a lot of really extensive dishes, you know.
Yeah, I got lucky. I went to a really good school in Salzburg, and it helps a lot. And also was always willing to learn and see different styles and see different chefs, how they're doing their job. And you can, in any restaurant, you can learn always something. You always see something different, and that's good. Then you can choose for yourself what you use in your career. And so more you see, so more you know, and so better you get.
Mm. I mean, where the instructors really...
sometimes people are, instructors are really tough and some...
Yeah, that's what I mean, when they're really tough and strict and...
I'm really strict, yeah, and especially in really in fine dining restaurants where I always worked, they have to be strict and tough, otherwise they don't get those high-end class. It's only hard
right,
work, the, otherwise you don't make it.
That's it. That's it. There's Austria.
Yeah.
Now, how did the when you were in Austria, and you how did the chance to you met an archbishop in
this has to do with a little bit with luck too. And
okay.
In my case was I always was involved in the well-known chefs in Austria. Especially when some important visitor came to Salzburg and they need a team of chef to cook for important people. And I was always involved to cook for the Archbishop of Salzburg for his special guests. So he always called me for catering and he gave me a call and said, Joseph, I get some important guests over. I need like a 3 or 4 course menu for 20, 25 people or 40 people. He called me a week before, and I came up with a menu and sent it over to him, and then so on. And then we discussed everything, and I cooked it for him. And also for politician people, the Archbishop of Salzburg, he always has important guests over in his house. And he has actually also a woman who did the basic stuff just for him and his workers and cooked for him, but when he needs special food, special fine dining, then he always called me and my team. So I prepared it in my kitchen and transferred it over to the Archbishop in Salzburg's kitchen, and we finished up everything and served it for the guest. And so
right.
This was always maybe sometimes twice a week, sometimes only once a month, so whatever he needs. And
so he's like, he kind of said, hey, let me call Chef Agner. He said, hey man, how are you? He gave you a call on the phone, like, hey, how are you doing, Chef? Can you come over?
Sometimes he called me, or sometimes his secretary called me, whoever
yes.
was, right? But when it was really important, I got a personal call from the Archbishop.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, was that a special phone? Was that a special phone line that came in? Like, was it a special line that? I mean, you know, a special dial tone that came in?
Yeah. Before we had cell phones in Austria, it was just a regular phone. Later on, when I had my first cell phone, then I knew right away it was him.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know you must have dropped everything and took that phone call.
Yeah, kind of. I was always really proud of that. And so also, it was like 1988, and it was, actually no, it was a year before, it was in November 1987, I got a call from him and say, Joseph, I got a call from Vatican, the Pope is coming to visit Salzburg in May 1988, and... So we have to come up with something good. And they say, of course. And I was really a little bit shocked in the first moment. He
now,
asked me for that.
Was
I
that...
Said, I want to do that, and I do my best, and I create a team. And so we worked on that. And it took me almost 3 months to get everything set up for this special weekend. It was for 3 days. I have to find the staff. You have to go to a security check. It was really not so easy. You have to be prepared actually 3 or 4 months before, not only with the menu or with the drinks, with the wine and everything else. Also, you have to be checked by a security staff.
Yes, I bet you they checked the napkins, they checked the forks, they checked the
no,
everything.
No, it wasn't so bad, but if it was on the team, he got a personal check. I hope there was not any criminal or something else, right?
Pope John Paul II, he was from
yes.
Poland. So did you, when you fixed the different entrees, were they to cater towards the popes from Poland, from John Paul?
No, we cooked the difficult Austrian kitchen. Some things, Poland is almost a neighbor of Austria, so some things a little similar, just cook a little different way, but we have some stuff in Austria that you can get the same as in Poland.
Wow.
And it's European style, and every country has a little different, his own thing too, but something is a little similar, like the sausage, Polish sausage and Austrian sausage are really similar.
So you were like, hey, this is me. This is, you were like, this moment was for you. That was for you right there, that moment, that door.
Yeah, it was.
And now, Chef Agner, you basically, now, when you guys were sitting there and you were eating, and you must have got the, how can you say, you must have got the smile or the thumbs up or the five star after the meal. But that's what happened. Did he come over and shake your hand? And
yeah. So when the time came that he arrived, and he was staying in Salzburg in a monastery, and me and my team were there, and we were waiting till he arrived. And it was actually a small group who was allowed to come in this little monastery where he was actually staying for the day or for the night. And so he came in with the car, and then he got out, and first, of course, the guy from the monastery was the first one to shake hands with him, and then so on, and then also was me and my crew, and he said hello to everybody, and he was really nice, and he smiled at us, and talked a couple words to us, to everybody, actually, and everybody was so proud, and he had such a great charisma. It was really a great honor even to shake only hands with him.
That's one, and there's many other people. You also cook for Pope Benedict the 16th,
yeah.
And he's from Germany.
Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, to the city of brotherly love. Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, bringing grace from God up above. Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, to the city of brotherly love. Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, bringing grace from God up above. Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, to the city of brotherly love. Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, bringing grace from God up above. Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, to the city of brotherly love. Welcome to our home, Pope Francis, bringing grace from God up above.
Welcome back to the flavor. That was a song. You could tell that was dedicated from Philadelphia to Pope Francis. Woo! And America's not playing around. You know what I mean? We're like, we are welcome. No, we have to get back to our part two of Chef Agner, as he talks about the second call he got from Pope Benedict the 16th. Yes, Pope Benedict the 16th. And wow, not only one, but two. Here we go. We have to go. My seatbelt is on. Let's go.
The phone started ringing, and you got that call again. You got that ring again, huh?
Again, he called me.
Yeah, you got the second call again.
Yeah, and especially when he had a conference and he had a break, they come out from the room and they talk to us. When we was waiting for them to be prepared, they need anything, and especially when it was a small group of 10 people. And Ratzinger came also many times in the kitchen, ask, so what's going to be next? It was fun, and we talked like we were friends. It became actually so simple and normal, and nobody was shy, actually. And just,
yeah, everybody was kind of talking
and
freely.
And they liked it when we talked, to get a little destroyed from the break what we had, and did something different. And if it was only for a couple of minutes, right? But it was great.
Now, he is from Germany. Pope Benedict the 16th from Germany. So did you make some type of, German meal, Spätzle, Schnitzel?
No, he gets this all the time in Germany anyway. So
yeah, you're right. Makes sense.
He was actually happy when he gets something different. And he always said, I'm so happy in Salzburg, I know that's going to be good food. And he said, okay, whatever you make, it's always great.
Pope John Paul from Poland the second, he was like, hey, you better call, Chef Agner. You better call him when you make it. You better call him. He probably did that,
I guess so. When I cooked for the Pope of Cardinal Ratzinger was also here in Salzburg the same time. There was a whole group of other archbishops or the cardinals. There was a lot of people in this. And all the cardinals from Austria or from the neighbors of Austria, they were here too.
Wow. I'm not speaking for the Pope here on Flavor Living. No disrespect. I just was like, those guys called on you 2 times, of the Catholic Church. They called you twice. Yeah. That's a greatest honor,
Especially at this time, I was 28 or 30 years old. So I was young, and of course I was really honored for that. But for me, it became almost normal already.
Yes.
Yeah, so
the second call, you mean.
Yeah, but still, cook for a Pope, I was a little nervous at the beginning, but then went back to the routine.
Yeah, I can imagine it.
My helpers and my other chefs, they helped me. I couldn't do it on my own, it was too much.
Yes, you had a team of
really
people.
And
You also, I just wanted to add too, and we're going to go back to, because Pope Francis is here in America, you cooked also for the Dalai Lama, for Tibetan. Now, how did that call come in? That's a third call from somebody, the Dalai Lama, Chef Agner.
In a resort in Austria, as in Salzburg, and the Dalai Lama was visiting Salzburg, and he came in this convention center. And I also did once in a while some catering in this convention center when they have high-end guests. And so the manager from the convention center, he called me and said, we have a big meeting, and the Dalai Lama is coming for a speech, and also after that he's coming for lunch, and we need like a buffet for 150 people, and you cook for so many famous people already, so it would be great when you can do this for us too.
So that's the third call. This is the third call that came through.
It did, yes. So I created a special menu, a lot of vegetarian food by Dalai Lama.
Yes, I heard that Dalai Lama is a vegetarian. Dalai Lama, yes.
Still have to cook some meat too for the other people. It was 150 people involved. But it was so funny when they watch him, what he's eating, so everybody want to eat almost the same. So I almost ran out of vegetarian food, and the meat was still there.
Were you inside of ahead of time? You're going, maybe they're going to probably have more, food like the Dalai Lama.
I know he was vegetarian. So let's have a lot of vegetarian food. If there's leftover, don't care. It's good to have enough. I don't want to run out of anything. It's so bad. And it's not a problem. The leftover, it's always something you can do. As soon as the food is fresh, and you can always create something else of that. It's not a problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did he also come over and give you the handshake thank you and everything?
Yeah. I served him, and I didn't shake hands with him, but I talked to him and asked him what he likes and explained something to him. And the thing is, the Dalai Lama, he only shakes hands when he has to. Usually, they have a special thing what they do for say hi to you. default the hand and go down with the head. That's what he usually do, but they don't shake hands.
Gotcha. That's like the symbol, like everything is cool.
Yeah, right. But I talked to him, I spoke English to him, and I didn't speak too much, but my English was okay, but was not like now, where I'm spending so much time in America already. But back in the day, it was like basic English, so... But still, I couldn't talk a few words to him and explain what is here on the buffet, what he tell
now,
him in English, and was okay.
Well, you know, I follow, you know, as I was researching, you do a lot of preparation, even your two restaurants. You have two restaurants there.
Yes.
In Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you do a lot of preparation there which a chef is known to do a lot of preparation, but you do very extensive preparation. What type of steps do you do? You have a board, or do you, as far as to get everything prepared?
Yeah. In the kitchen, we have a prep list, so we knew every day in the morning or the end of the day, we write down what we need to do, and I like to make everything fresh. I do my own shopping. I go 3 times a week shopping in the market and the special stores for restaurants. I like to see what they're having, and I like to see the food before I buy it, and I want to see the quality.
Yeah.
And it's really important. It's worth it.
So you came, now you said you started out, and my God, so you have some really profound moments. You get the nice phone calls, the great phone calls, and you meet your soulmate in the plane.
Yeah.
You get some really moments have come there to you,
yeah,
you know.
Things happen. It's amazing, right? Sometimes.
Yes. We all have these moments, but you really did have some, really. Now, when you came to America, you said, I saw that you took your first, now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want everybody to know here on the flavor, he is voted the best chef in America. He's done a book of the best chef in America.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
over 5,000, they do extensive interviews with over 5,000 chefs in America, you know, to pick the different chefs that are the best chefs. So I just want everybody to know, so when you first got to America, you started out, you said, working for pizza?
Yeah, cook.
Yes. You must have been very humble. People probably didn't even know who you were. They didn't even know who you were, probably, you know.
Yeah, nobody had any idea I had a famous career in Austria already. My wife didn't know everything back then.
I understand.
She even found out when we visited Salzburg, and I showed her the monastery where I cooked for the Pope, and there was a...
Yeah, you probably had the proof. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and he saw my picture in this album, and shaking hands with the Pope, and he said, hey, Joseph, then I told him my story. Oh, yeah, I cooked for the Pope. I forgot.
two popes. Two popes, and a king. Oh, man. So basically, now that your skills are in America, your skills are really well known. They didn't know, but now that it was marketed out there, that who this, you know, Chef Agner, who you were, then they started calling.
So we found two bakers here in Middletown.
Now he owns two restaurants in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Last year we opened, called the Brew Bakers in Connecticut.
Yeah, Brew Bakers Cafe is the second one. And the first one is just Brew Bakers. It's breakfast and lunch, high-end breakfast and lunch. I'm not a fine dining, so I don't have to work any. I have my nights off now. What I like.
It's like you're kind of like, hey, look, I've cooked for the the highest life people.
Yeah.
Now I have my own, and you should check out the menu. So if you guys go to his restaurant, and he has a menu there for Brew Bakers Cafe, the menus is awesome, from the different bagels and the omelet sandwiches. This is in America. What are your thoughts now? He's here in America touring different locations. What do you think now, after years of, you know, you've cooked for two? What are your views today now? Do you think he's going to be trying different meals here in America and doing this? Of course he's going to be eating, you know, but
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, now it's the new pop here, and I see this under my relaxed side, so I don't have the stress to do create something for another pope, right? And I did my thing back there, and it was great, and now I see it from completely different way. So just brings me back in nice memories. But, and so,
you know, we just had to have you on, you know, because Pope Francis from, you know, Argentina, Pope, and had to have you on Flavor Living Radio, you know?
One second.
He's taking a phone call. You never know, it could be another call from... No. Wait, hold up.
Another call.
No, you could have another call there coming in.
Sure? Okay,
yeah.
One second. All right.
Come in from you there, you know, but thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio, you know, Chef Hagner. Joseph, Chef... Now, can you share with everybody your website and everything?
Yeah, foodbakers.com.
Brewbakers.com. Yes, go to the...
No.
If you're in Connecticut, you have to visit it. I want to visit just to shake your hand and thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio, you know. So, hey, give us a good Austrian word. What's a good Austrian word?
Oh, my God, it's so many.
Yes. What's a good word for us? Word, Chef Hagner, what's a good word?
A good word in what kind of word you want to hear? I can't...
I just chose. You choose. A good Austrian word.
Oh my God, what should I choose? You brought me on the spot now.
I know. I know.
I got brain freeze right now.
No, come on.
Okay, das ist großartig.
Oh, say this again, one more time.
Das ist großartig.
Das ist großartig.
Yeah. It means like it's very exciting what we did just now.
Oh, cool.
The whole interview was großartig.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks for being on our show, all right?
And, anytime.
You know, stay by your phone there. Stay by your phone.
Thanks for tuning in to Flavor Living Radio this afternoon as we spoke with Chef Joseph Hagner. What a stories, man. Two popes. Dolly Lump, did you hear that? Thanks for tuning in. We want to thank our two sponsors. If you're looking for a phone service, or you want to transfer over your phone service, or looking for a new phone service, Flavor Living is going to give you $25. If you go to flavorliving.ting.com, that's TING.com, and we want to thank Hope Foods also. That is great hummus. They have different flavors, different tastes. So that's Hope Foods. And we'll have more on next week's show. Thanks for tuning in. Eat well and drive safe. And have a great day.